Not only most amazingly popular programmes on the radio, at least I presume it's so because it's been going on for so many years, is Round Britain Quiz. Remember, it's a quiz in which incredibly clever people are asked crossword clue-style questions like, how would you connect a dessert to please a baker, a literary sister, and the foreign partner of an insane monarch? The answer would, of course, come back very quickly, Charlotte. The dessert, like an apple Charlotte, Charlotte Bronte's sister of Anne and Emily, and Queen Charlotte, wife of George III. Well, on a day when we think about the Transfiguration, I got myself into a Round Britain Quiz situation. Let me pose you a similar question which got into my head. What's the connection between someone who contemplates their navel, a famous 10-word prayer, and the Feast of the Transfiguration? And the answer is, well, I won't expect a forest of hands anxious to share the word hesychast. Of course, you say. Often on that quiz, they spend more time explaining how they got their answer than actually giving it. So I'll do some unpacking of my little conundrum and then see what it has to say to us. Someone who contemplates their navel. It's an expression I've been familiar with without ever knowing its origin. I suppose I thought it was something to do with yoga and Buddhist meditation. But no, apparently it has a Christian origin in the 14th century. It was coined by a man who rejoiced in the name of Balaam in his criticism of a group of Christians who developed a technique of meditation which involved, amongst other things, and I quote, resting your beard on your chest and directing your bodily eye together with your entire intellect towards the middle of your belly, that is, towards your navel. And this was to be done sitting on a low stool about 9 inches high, with your shoulders bowed and your back bent. It was, and was intended to be, quite uncomfortable. And people who did that were called omphalopsychoi. So let me move on to the second part of the quiz question. What about the famous 10-word prayer? Well, it comes in different versions, and we may argue about the number of words. What was in mind was the so-called Jesus Prayer. And these people sitting contemplating their navel should then recite the Jesus Prayer in time with their breathing. The words are, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me. And the last element in the question was the connection with the Transfiguration. Well, these men contemplating their navel, saying the Jesus Prayer, were attempting so to still their minds and concentrate on God that they would gain a vision of the divine light, which St. Gregory Palamas, who developed these ideas, identified with the light that surrounded Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. He taught it wasn't an ordinary light, created light, but a form of the energy of God. No one could ever see all that light because it was infinite, like God. It was essentially mysterious. They were fond of quoting Dionysius the Areopagite, who talked of the deep and dazzling darkness in God. The name of the monks who practiced these things in the 14th century became known as the hesychasts, and the technique was known as hesychasm. It derives from a Greek word meaning quiet or stillness. It was controversial in its day, but was affirmed as proper by three councils in Constantinople in 1341, 1347, and 1351. And has remained in some form or other a part of Orthodox spirituality ever since. Indeed, it's been heavily revived in our own time. Well, what's this got to do with us? Again, let me take the three elements I've mentioned and see where they take us. Bodily posture is the first. There's much more thought given to this today in all Christian circles. Kneeling to pray is just the bodily posture we've been brought up with. It's no more authority than that. Jews have always prayed standing up, and that's always been the Orthodox tradition, and indeed many continental churches. There was a vogue a few years ago for using prayer stalks, little low seats on which you can sit or kneel at the same time. And the way we are, sitting, standing, or whatever, does affect our prayers. The hesychasts deliberately made themselves uncomfortable. More often, people have tried to find a posture which is both comfortable and alert. And similarly today, there's a new awakening of allowing our whole being to be involved in prayer, not just our minds or our lips. So the prayer of the body, as it's sometimes called, is something we can work at. Their technique was designed to make them aware of the body so that they could go beyond it into God. That's a good principle. We offer our souls and bodies, we say, week by week at communion. Then there's the Jesus prayer and its use. Modern Orthodox practice is to say, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, while breathing in, and have mercy on me while breathing out. But there are all sorts of variations. The point of the exercise was to acquire inner simplicity and stillness, free from images and discursive thinking. The rhythm of breathing and prayer to become as one. So that prayer is to be made continuous and will bring with it, according to Gregory, a feeling of warmth in the heart. This is all a very salutary reminder to us Western Christians that we're far too prone to make our prayers very intellectual. We look for beautiful words and thoughts. We make lists of the things we should pray for. Intercession, praying for others, is perfectly right and proper. That's only one part of what prayer can mean. And what this kind of prayer is offering is something we're much less in touch with because of the accident of where we happen to have been brought up. It's a way of so concentrating on Jesus that we say we believe with our minds that he is with us, and that's found to be a spiritual reality. It has such simplicity that it's available to us when our minds are clouded and confused. I recall when I was a curate talking to a woman in hospital who said she'd found it a tremendous help from using the Jesus prayer whilst being wheeled down for an operation. With her brain befuddled with the pre-med, this was in fact the only kind of prayer she could make, but it was also the perfect one. She was able to focus on Jesus rather than herself, and that gave her tremendous peace. So there's another aspect of praying that you might want to experiment with if it's new to you. And then lastly, there's a connection with the Transfiguration. This is the business of the light of God, which was the purpose of the prayer. I think this is something we have to take very seriously. You remember the story of Moses' face shining after he'd met with God and how he veiled his face. The people saw reflected light, and light signifying the presence of God was basic to their thinking. The events on Mount Tabor, or wherever the Transfiguration took place, were in keeping with that tradition. Why should we dissociate the body and the soul in the way we often do? If we've spent time with God, we ought to be lit up in some way or other. Why should not our bodies reflect the encounter we had? There have been remarkable examples of this with the appearances of stigmata on a few saintly people. They bear physically the wounds of Christ. We've probably all met someone who really does appear to shine with an inner holiness. But we say to everyone when they are baptized, shine as a light in the world, and we give them a candle to remind them of that. We're not asking them to shine with their own light, but to reflect the light of Christ, who is the light of the world. St. Paul, writing to the Corinthians, and in the context of talking about Moses' shining face, says, all of us then reflect the glory of the Lord with uncovered faces, and that same glory coming from the Lord, who is the Spirit, transforms us into his likeness in an ever greater degree of glory. In our New Testament lesson today, Peter looks forward to the time when the day dawns and the light of the morning star shines in our hearts. But that light which is our goal is also a light that in some measure is a light we can see and use today. The transfiguration of Jesus showed his glory to the disciples, and that glory is one we have been called to share. The hesychasts were just some of those who've shown that we can glimpse that glory here and now.